I'm on now. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Hope you've been encouraged this morning as we praised and worshiped the King, and also hopefully encouraged too in some of the testimonies that you've had this morning. A wonderful thing is that the Lord is equipping us constantly all over the world, and He's working in and through His church. I mean, the purpose of the church and the fivefold ministry is to train and equip all of you so that you are able to do the things that God has prepared you to do. And so it's wonderful to hear when we have opportunity to go somewhere. The nice thing about it is sometimes, you know, you get so distracted sometimes at home by life and whatnot. There's obviously it's nice when you can basically just to kind of hone in and be somewhere. But you know, even if you're not able to do that, be encouraged, because God is able to speak to us and reveal His will to us wherever we are. Even in the busyness of the life that we have, we just need to learn to rest in His presence. And when we do that, God speaks to us and He brings all sorts of wonderful revelation to us. And this morning, actually, we're going to be trying to delve in and into what that revelation is. And Joanne shared that the great message that spoken of the book of Revelation was the last word that we had on Thursday night. And I will be speaking out of the book of Revelation, but I want you to know that I had that word before we went down there. But it's wonderful and encouraging to see that God is in the business also of bringing fresh and new revelation to us, because He loves us and He wants us to grow in the ways of God. I'm going to ask you all to stand right now. Just at about midnight last night, because we didn't get home till about 5, but I just felt the Lord give me this prayer to write, and I felt that it'd be like a congregational prayer that I want to pray. And let's pray this together this morning. Good morning, Heavenly Father, maker of heaven and earth. All glory and power be yours and in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Today, Lord, open my heart, my mind, and every part of who I am. Holy Spirit, come and reveal your truth to us. I am hungry and thirsty for more of you, and I'm tired of not living the life you gave me to live, Lord Jesus. Come and invade my world, my reality today. Knock down every lie, every bit of wrong thinking that has somehow entered into my understanding about who you are. I break away enemy limiting factors in my life today. Not yours, but mine. For you are not limited by anything. Let my eyes be open to you, Lord, today. Let my mind be changed and transformed to be like you. For your word declares that I've been made in your image and that I have the mind of Christ. I receive your words of truth and declare them over myself and over my brothers and sisters in Christ, because that is your intent, for us to be a people set free, a people living in your power and authority, a victorious and joyful people, a people reflecting you, Lord, to this world, a people so in love with you. To the one who lifted us out of darkness and gave us new life, to him be all glory, all honor, and praise. Amen. 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 It's a good prayer to pray. It allows the Holy Spirit to just come and do what He wants to do with us this morning. I believe He wants to do some great and amazing things in your life this morning. I want you to turn to Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. I'm just going to concentrate on those two verses. It just shows God's amazing love for us. It says, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I'm just gonna want to try to unpack just what we read to you this morning. I know when I first read this, it was just before we left for Denver, that there's just something that just popped into my heart. And you know, it was interesting because as we were going down, I mean, the common theme this morning, it seems, not only in our praise and worship, but in our time in prayer too, is just focusing on the person of who Jesus is. And as I kind of meditated on that over the past week, I just felt the Lord really bringing me to a place of recognizing what, or the key aspect of what that verse is saying to us. But there's some wonderful things that speaks of who we are. It says, it begins by the words, to him who loves us. John 13:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, God began in his love for us. It says, in the beginning. That's where his love initiated. And it will finish, I believe. His love will finish. The work of his love will finish when he returns and comes to rule and reign on the earth. And at first, you know, I don't know about you, but we've read so often as you read the scripture about, you know, God's love and he loves us. But so often, you know, we just kind of take it almost casually. But I think there's something very profound and very deep that the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, wants to reveal to us, not just this morning, but in the days and in the months ahead, that it's important for us to dig deeper in order for us to understand who is this love and why does he love us and what is this love all about and how can I begin to understand it so that it begins to change my life, transform my mind, and change my life in a positive, real way. And then even more importantly, who is this love that we're speaking of? The power of the cross, as we've seen over the last few weeks, and as we will continue to see as others come and share a perspective, a word that they have about that, well, I think begins to reveal the multifaceted character of who God is and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's so that we're able to know him and to understand him. I believe one of God's greatest desires is for us to know him, to be in that place of intimacy. Because I believe that in knowing him, that the word of God begins to be revealed in a greater way, in a greater dimension. And this is what this book of Revelation is about. It's about the revealing of the person of Jesus Christ. And hopefully this morning, that's what the Holy Spirit will do. I've kind of pointed out three things about this verse that I've called sort of works of the cross. And they're profound truths. And they're ones that we need to understand and embrace them. For it says, to him who loves us, then it says, and has freed us from the sins, from our sins by his blood. This is, of course, the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross by freeing us from the consequences of sin in our lives. He's wiped them away. He's loosened us. He's freed us from the effect of that sin by cleansing us by his blood, bringing death to sin, but bringing new life into whomever chooses to receive him and to believe in the atoning, or, see if I can say this, propitiatory, I think I got that right. Remember when Mark spoke about that, the propitiatory work of Jesus on the cross. So that we're free from the effects of what sin has done in our lives, and we begin to live in the new life that Jesus has given us. It's more than just Jesus dealing with the effects and the cause of sin. I believe it's a freedom that He's given us, a freedom from the things that hold us back. And salvation is not just that moment. There is an aspect of the moment in which Jesus saves us right then and there, but the process of salvation continues in our lives, and it's part of the process of sanctification. And so to be freed is something that we need to understand. Jesus is wanting us to free us from everything that holds us back, that holds us back from being the people that He's called us to be, from experiencing Him in every dimension possible, from knowing Him in a place of intimacy, so that we, with nothing held back, we sing so many songs about living in freedom and walking in freedom, and that exemplifies everything that God wants us to do, but we need to begin to walk that freedom out. So to be reminded of that is a wonderful, powerful thing. It speaks of, you know, the old life being left behind. It reminds us again of our redemption and the price that Jesus has placed and Jesus' desire to bring us into relationship with Him. The next part of that verse is, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest. And whereas the lines before that I kind of have tagged as our former condition, this to me begins to speak of our new position in Christ. 1 Peter 2:5 says, puts it in this way. It says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Romans 15:15-16 says, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, He gave me the priestly duties of proclaiming the gospel of God. That's what it means to be a king and a priest. Clark's commentary says this. He says, the regal and sacerdotal dignities, and what he's meaning by here, a regal, of course, is the king, and the sacerdotal, meaning the priestly dignities that we have, are the two highest that can possibly exist among men. And these two are mentioned here to show the glorious prerogatives and the state of the children of God. That's where you and I are seated. God has, it says, He has made us, Jesus has made us to be a kingdom people, and a priest. Matthew Henry's commentary says, Christ has made believers kings and priests to God and His Father. As such, they overcome the world, they mortify sin, they govern their own spirits, they resist Satan, they prevail with God in prayer, and shall judge the world. He has made them priests, given them access to God, enabled them to offer spiritual and acceptable sacrifices, and for these favors, they are bound to ascribe to Him dominion and glory forever. That's what our new position is. That's what your position is in Christ. The next of that verse says, and I've called this our purpose, it says, to serve His God and Father. Revelation 5:9-10 says, and they sang a new song, singing, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God members of every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest. Why? To serve our God. And they will reign. We will reign on the earth. That's what our purpose is as priests and as a kingdom people, is to serve God. Jesus came to serve the Father, and we serve Him in the same way in the context of the kingdom of God. We carry with us, we are ambassadors, we are kingdom people, so wherever you and I go, we carry that kingdom character, that kingdom atmosphere almost, and we operate as priests to demonstrate and to show the kingdom of God not just in declaring His Word, but in just the way that we go about doing the things that we do, so that we can reveal God's A plan, not His B plan, but His A plan, which we know well, and we've read that scripture in Ephesians 3:10 and 11, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a part of what our purpose is. And it's wonderful. You know, when I first read this, my first reaction was, this is such a great scripture. This is wonderful. You know, I've been freed from my sins. I've been made to be a kingdom and priest. I said, thank you, Jesus. I was just so excited about the reality of what that word says, because just think about what it says. We've just gleaned a little bit. We've touched on some of what those things mean. But at that time, I realized that I was filtering all this amazing truth through me and myself, how it affected me, and how wonderful that Jesus had done this for me and for you. And even though that's a wonderful thing, and I'm not trying to diminish the truth of what that is, but so often, I don't know about you, but I read the scripture and I get excited, you know, when it talks about who Christ has made us. But I think sometimes, as much as we celebrate that, and we enjoy it, I think, because it, of course, it kind of speaks to that part of wanting to be encouraged. It's wanting to see who we are with a greater view and a greater perspective. And as I said, all of those things are wonderful. That's what I'm trying to say, is the work of what the cross has accomplished. But I think sometimes we lose the focus. And when we lose the focus, we lose the full power that comes in with realizing who we are in Christ. And so I looked at that scripture again, and I read it in a different way. And I kind of took out what I just shared with you, and I just read, to Him who loves us, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And I think you've heard me say this before. When you read scripture, you know, there's always look for, always ask the Lord, Lord, where is the key thing in this scripture? What's the central truth? It's all truth, but sometimes God is wanting to highlight certain specific things. And for me, the central truth is this. It's about concentrating and focusing on Jesus, so that in doing that, it brings into balance the supporting truths about the fact that He's freed us, that He's made us to be a king in the kingdom, that He's called us to serve the Father. And why is that important? It's important because I don't know about you, but as I said, I've been encouraged by reading the scripture that builds me up and what, and that's great. But sometimes, I don't know about you, you see the lack of evidence of that real power operating in your life. At least I have seen that, you know, and I'm still struggling with things. And I realize that we're all on this journey and God is working things in and through us, but I think there's ways in which God wants to reveal things to us to help us in that journey. And I think one of the things is to, when we examine scriptures, to look at what the central truth is, to look, God, what are you trying to highlight here? And for us, I believe, when we begin to understand that Jesus is the reason for everything that we do, and we begin to understand who He is, who this person is, and acknowledge Him, and acknowledge who He is, I believe that all the supporting truths of what He's made us into, what He's done for us, get revealed in a new and a fresh way. It's because of who Jesus is that the rest of this verse has complete context and fullness. He is the reason that there is power in the cross. Redemptive power, salvation power, life transforming power. For He is the source of all power and authority which the Father has placed in His hands. the power of the cross. We just read that sort of the central truth. To him who loves us, to him be glory and power forever and ever. It speaks, the first part speaks again of his tremendous love. The power of the cross, it's important that we understand this, reveals. I think this is a revelatory truth. It reveals the great love of both the Father and the Son for mankind and the enabling power and authority that has been conveyed on all who believe in Jesus. And as I've just said, we've seen what this power has done. We've seen the atoning power, the freeing power. We've seen the power which opens up the gates of heaven and gives us eternal life. We see that his power lifts us into a new position in Christ, into a new life in Christ. The power of the cross brings us back into the original relationship that God has wanted with us. And it equips us with his power and authority so that we can live victorious lives over the power of darkness. And it makes us to be a kingdom people and a priest, which is the position that we need to understand. So often we get caught up in the excitement of what God through Jesus Christ has done for us. And as much as I said, that's great and wonderful, but it's because of all that he's done for us. And that comes from his great and amazing love that he has for you and for me. It's almost like putting the cart before the horse. You know, you can move that cart, but it's awkward because it twists and it turns. We have to make sure that when we're reading in Scripture, we need to make sure that we're putting first things first. And in this case, we need to put Jesus first. We need to understand the magnitude of his love. And we need to have a fresh and new revelation of what that love does for us. Because that's the power of all the enabling that he gives us, the power and authority that he's giving us. The second part of that verse. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. To me speaks of his worthiness. 1 Peter 2:9 says, continue. He continues to expand the original thought in 2:5, which is about being priests and a kingdom. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. See, we were created to praise God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe that if we begin to live in this way, with our complete focus on Jesus, loving Jesus with every breath that we take, with every word that we speak, with every effort that we make, our love will express itself most purely, most powerfully, and most reverently in our praise and worship to him. I believe that when we put Jesus first, when we focus on him, focus on the great and amazing love that he's done for us, and just worship him. And I don't mean just singing. I mean worshiping him in everything that we do. We don't have to worship him just in singing. That's a wonderful way, but it's just one very small. Worship him at work. Worship him by what you do, and you do it with absolute excellence. You live your life as an example to others to follow. When we live that way, when we put Jesus as the central focus of everything, everything else in the Word of God, all that he has done for us takes on a complete new meaning, and with it gets released an amazing power. When we begin to live this way with our complete focus on Jesus, then the power that is in the reality of the cross will be activated in our lives. Freedom, salvation, healings, and becoming effective priests and a kingdom people, they all become alive and real to us as we fix our eyes on Jesus. We can begin to rest in what God has done for us on the cross and not be driven in our faith, or not be disappointed or frustrated, struggling in our lives. That's not God's plan. But we need to rest in the person of who Jesus is. So much, so often in the church, we're busy trying to do things. We're trying to make things happen. We're trying to somehow, in our being the people that we were called to be, think that we can somehow do something that's going to change our position or change our way of doing. Well, there are practical things, but we struggle with that. We have anxiety about that. We see ourselves struggling and not seeing victory in our lives. Because again, we need to focus on the person of Jesus Christ. We need to fix our eyes on Him. Because when we do something, it's something, I don't know if I'm even explaining it well this morning, but there's something supernatural that happens that enables you and I to actually begin to live the life that He's called us to do. But it begins by fixing our eyes on Him, by focusing on Him. When we do that, as I said, it's like something becomes activated inside us. Suddenly the things I believe that are difficult will become easier as we rest in Him. Not as we try to make things, not as I try to be a better person, because I don't know about you, but I've been trying that for a long time and it's not working very well. So I think God is trying to highlight something for us. I don't think it's an accident that almost everything that we heard this week in Denver spoke of fixing our eyes on Jesus. Focus everything. Why? I think God is speaking to His people all over the world. See, He's got a job for us to do. And if we keep on struggling in our little struggles and whatnot because we're not getting something, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what the Scripture says here. This is what the book of Revelation is all about. It's about understanding who this Jesus is and giving Him all the glory, all the power for Him. You know, I was thinking of something to try to help us a little bit understand the impact of what that means. And I'm going to use this illustration. It may not be a very good one, but it was the best one that I had. But I thought, you know, can you imagine if you were an employee of Apple Corporation? Like, how cool would that be? You know, here's a company that's successful. It's got cutting edge technology. And I can see, you know, the CEO, Steve Jobs, every time Job coming up and he's addressing the thousands and thousands of employees and telling them about their new product and what the company is doing and how they're powering forward. You know, as an employee, that's got to be the best feeling there is. You know, I'm part of this amazing company, this amazing corporation, cutting edge stuff. You know, people just, they're in lineups, you know, 24 hours before there's a launch of a product. And I thought, that's the picture that we need to have. Our CEO is Jesus Christ. We need to understand how amazing and incredible He is and get excited about that and say, that's what I'm a part of. I'm a part of this amazing church, this amazing kingdom of God. And we need to get excited about that but that comes when we begin to see and have a revelation of what this Jesus is doing and what He's accomplished and how He's moving forward. And you see, if you're an employee of Apple, you just have to do your job. You don't have to come up with a whole nine yards, the whole vision. No, Jesus does the same thing. He has a plan. Just do what He's called us to do. And let's celebrate and enjoy the journey that we have in Him. When we realize who Jesus is, when we focus on Him, when we worship Him, when we praise Him, we begin to see what we are a part of. Acts 17, 28, 29. I think that verse came out this morning. For in Him we live and move and have our being. When we get it, that's the place that we live. And it says, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offering. Therefore, since we are God's offering, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. Sometimes I think we still believe that God is gold and silver and stone, like this little statue that we put on our dresser or this nice picture on the wall of Jesus. That's not him. That's not what we're a part of. We're a part of a great, I can't even describe how great and amazing God is and the power that he has given Jesus Christ. But that's what we're a part of it. That's the atmosphere in which we're to live and move and have our being. We need our minds to be renewed, folks. The power of the cross can only be understood when we know who Jesus is and where the Father has seated him at his right hand to the highest place. Then and only then can we have a true revelation of who Jesus Christ is and see him as he's described in this passage, which I'm going to read in Revelation 5. That when we get a glimpse of him, the effect is we need to fall down and praise him, because we get a glimpse of how awesome he is. I'm going to read from Revelation 5, if you want to turn there, starting in verse 6. And then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to really worship him. We're going to praise him with everything that is in us. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center before the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, this is what happens when we experience who Jesus is. And they sang this new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God members of every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. That's what it's going to be like, folks. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength, all honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. That's what happens. When we get a revelation, look out, church. That's how we need to see who this great and mighty Lord is. So, Lord, would you just come? The musicians, come on up. Lord, just come and let your word work its way deep within our hearts this morning. Let our minds be renewed. Let our thinking be transformed. And let our lives be changed forever.